are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Correctly today. It is July 28th, 2025. It's a hot and humid day here in Philadelphia. Oh my goodness, it's even difficult to breathe anymore. So I pray that you are staying cool somehow, that you're checking on the elderly and those that have no fans or anything to help them. Please check on your neighbors or your friends to make sure they're safe, because this is a terrible heat wave that we are in the midst of here in the Philadelphia area. But let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those suffering today, of course, from the heat across our country and across the world. We pray, Lord Jesus, for rain to go where it is arid and dry, and for crops to grow and for fires to be put out. And we pray for the cooling rain, Lord Jesus, safe rain, to touch the lives and the neighborhoods of all those who are listening. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are suffering from storms and floods across the world. So many floods and storms, it's amazing. And Heavenly Father, we offer all our prayers today for all those who have lost loved ones and homes and businesses. Jesus, we pray that you place your heavenly hand on all those who are listening today. Of course, we pray for peace in the world and for all of our loved ones needing healing prayer today. We pray in a special way for that healing prayer, Heavenly Father. And we thank you and praise you for all that you are about. And dear Blessed Mother, we place this program in your Immaculate Heart and in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we praise and thank you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what in the world does the Lord want to share with you today? And of course, if you're listening on your radio or Alexa or Google, you know, I hope you are listening, because the theme today is the cross is a tough topic, isn't it? Because this is where we actually learn about tough love. Now, through the last couple of decades, we've heard a lot of self-help books about tough love with children, marriages, businesses, swimming with the sharks. But really, the cross is a tough topic, isn't it? Because this is where we learn about tough love. So, are you spiritually sad today? Are you spiritually sad today? It's time to find a new path, my friend. And we're going to walk through to find that path for you through this broadcast today. So if you're feeling or sensing to be spiritually sad, it's time to find that new path. And through the grace of God, this broadcast will help you. Now, Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say that when suffering comes, it's certainly a sign that we're close enough to the cross of Jesus for him to give us a kiss. Now, one day, as she talked to a woman who had many crosses, she pointed out that there was a sign of Jesus' love for her. And the woman turned to her and said, "Mother, please tell Jesus not to love me so much." Now, the cross is a tough but essential message. And the cross itself is the very symbol, my friends, of our faith, revered through the centuries. Now, a little history lesson. The Roman Emperor Constantine was a pagan. And in the year 312, he faced a battle over control of the Western Empire. And the night before this very battle, at the Milvian Bridge, Constantine had a vision. Now, listen carefully. In which he saw a cross in the sky, emblazoned in a light. Around the cross were the words, "In this sign you shall conquer." Now he ordered the sign of the cross put on the armor of all the soldiers in his army. And they marched into battle and they won. So the cross is the sign of Christ's victory. Remember that. A cross is a sign of Christ's victory. Now, if you know of any priest involved in exorcisms, when they conduct an exorcism, they use a cross because this is such a powerful means of confronting Satan. The demons are afraid of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus transformed this symbol of suffering, humiliation, and death into a symbol of hope, love, and promise. Now, Jesus preached about the cross, guess how many times in sacred scriptures? Can you guess? I want you to just say it out loud wherever you are. Jesus preached about the cross 3 times during his public ministry, predicting that he would suffer and die on the cross, but that he would rise again. Now, did you know that the first occasion came after Jesus asked his disciples who people thought he was? And they said some people thought he was John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and still others one of the prophets. And then he asked, "Hey, what do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And that's from Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18. Now that the disciples knew that Jesus was the Messiah, he had to tell them what kind of Messiah he was. Now, he was going to be a suffering Messiah, betrayed by his own people. And at this revelation, Peter pulls Jesus aside and he begins to remonstrate with him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." He's trying to talk him out of the cross, isn't he? And Jesus replied, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind on divine things, not on divine things, but on human things." Now, the second occasion that Jesus talks about the cross, now remember, this is a trivia question. If you know your scriptures, only 3 times in the scriptures did Jesus mention the cross. The second occasion, the apostles were afraid to question Jesus about this prediction he made about his suffering. They were soon lost in arguing back and forth among themselves about which one of them was the greatest. Now, the third occasion, Jesus told the apostles that they were headed for Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he'll be raised on the third day. Now, the Gospel of Luke tells us, friends, that they, the apostles, understood none of these things. They didn't even grasp what was said. Now, clearly, the apostles hoped that Jesus would be an earthly Messiah who would drive out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of Israel as it had been under King David and King Solomon. Now, those were the glory years, and they yearned for them like no other. But that wasn't Jesus's plan. For Jesus, the cross was everything. It was everything. You see, the cross will teach us great things. Now, we need to hear this today. If you're carrying a cross, maybe a chip on your shoulder, sin in your heart and soul, listen carefully. The cross will teach us great things. Don't be afraid to stand in spirit at the foot of that cross with our Blessed Lady, with St. John and St. Mary Magdalene. And you'll be amazed at what you'll learn if you open your heart and ask God to help you understand why God loved you so much that he died for you. Now, it's only at the foot of the cross that we begin to understand the suffering. As Mother Teresa said, hey, it's a kiss from the cross of Jesus. Now, the cross is a tough topic, as I said at the open, because this is where we learn about tough love. Jesus never loved suffering, my friends. He didn't love suffering for its own sake, and neither should we. Suffering for its own sake has no meaning whatsoever. But the suffering sanctified by Jesus Christ and our suffering in union with him has great power and great wisdom. Now, St. Bonaventure, I know we have so many listeners who love St. Bonaventure. He was a Franciscan doctor of the church. He called the cross, are you ready? The new staff of Moses. Now, when Moses came to the Red Sea, God told him to lift up his staff, part the waters of the sea with it. He did so, and the Israelites escaped the Egyptians over the dry ground. Now, St. Bonaventure said that the cross of Jesus is this new staff. And with that staff, Jesus had parted, not the sea, allowing people to journey to the promised land. Rather, he opened the doors to the kingdom of heaven that were closed by the sin of our first parents. Did you know that? And with that new staff, the cross, he has opened the way to our eternal life. So a couple things I want you to remember. Jesus mentioned the cross only three times in the sacred scripture. Three times. And St. Bonaventure called the staff that Moses used in parting the Red Sea the new staff, the new cross. Can you remember that? Because I am going to have a program coming up this fall on trivia pursuit, Catholic trivia and Christian pursuit. And we're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm going to have prizes. So you need to listen carefully, because I may draw back on some of these radio broadcasts, because I want you to have fun, but I also want you to understand the Bible and the catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, the joy of Christian faith starts from within. Saint Francis knew the importance of joy as a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare, and said that the devil can't harm the servant of God whom he sees filled with holy joy. Now, we have mentioned this in broadcasts before, but it's very important. It's important for me to say, to hear my own words. I have to practice this. The saint taught that the devil goes around scattering the dust of sadness and discouragement, that Babylonian stuff. He called it in reference to the sorrow of Jewish people during their exile in Babylon. Now, they couldn't even sing the songs of the Lord in this foreign land. If we are covered with the armor of joy, the devil scatters his Babylonian dust in vain. Did you know that? Now, let's talk a little bit about our spiritual sadness today. If we lack the armor of joy, so I asked you at the beginning of the program, are you spiritually sad today? If we lack the armor of joy, we can easily become victimized by a sadness that really turns others away. They don't see you as a Christian. That repels them. Saint Francis said that the devil rejoices most when he can steal the joy out of the heart of the servant of God. Did you know that? He rejoices when he can steal your joy, my friend, out of your heart, because you're a servant of God. St. Francis understood that one sad Christian can easily infect others with sadness. Now, that you may be that sad person in your house. And whenever St. Francis would see a sad friar, he would tell him that he had no right to inflict his sadness on all the others, bringing their spirits down. Now, I know I've shared that before, but I want to say it again. Often, St. Francis would tell such a sad friar to go away and pray until he's got his joy back, and then he could safely come and join the other brethren. That's a little harsh, isn't it? Can you imagine saying to a family member or your boss, go away, you're affecting everyone. I don't think I could do that. But you can pray, and you can become joyful, and it's a decision, like forgiveness. Having joy is a decision sometimes when you feel the worst. Now, spiritual sadness was one of the eight thoughts or demons that the Desert Fathers said could tempt them and us too. Now, we've talked about this before. This list includes pride, vanity, avarice, gluttony, lust, anger, acidia, which is listlessness or apathy, and spiritual sadness. Now, St. Gregory the Great, he rearranged this list, did you know that, into what we call the seven capital sins. And there are many, many books written on the seven capital sins, and look it up in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is priceless. He first reduced it by dropping vanity. What? St. Gregory the Great dropped the word vanity, which was close to pride. Then he next restricted acedia. It's A-C-E-D-I-A. And there is a wonderful book called this that I highly recommend. And he restricted this to sloth and laziness. Then he reduced spiritual sadness. He didn't say sadness, to envy, which is sadness at the good of another. Now, the desert monks had taught that spiritual sadness is much broader than the sadness of envy. It's a general sadness. Sometimes we call it depression, don't we? It's a general sadness. It brings an unhappiness. It seems to paralyze us. It paralyzes the soul and weighs it down in sorrow. And such sadness, my friends, can easily be an obstacle to one's personal spiritual growth, as well as to one's witness to Christ. Does this sound familiar to you? So what then are some forms of spiritual sadness that you, our dear listener, may likely encounter today, tomorrow, next week, on vacation, at work? First, there's a sadness of discouragement, which really produces a readiness to give up when we encounter difficulties. This is one that really I have to tackle almost every day, because I do become very discouraged, and I have to meet it head on. Head on. We all have to deal with potential discouragement, and it comes from a lack of apparent results. When, for example, no matter how much we pray and sacrifice for a situation, nothing ever seems to change. Does this sound familiar? The time lapse between the sowing of the seed of God's word and the reaping of its harvest can often seem like an eternity, doesn't it? Seems like an eternity. St. Monica thought it was an eternity. Now, don't watch the clock. I'm learning that. So these are notes that I write down throughout my journey of faith. Don't watch the clock. Be persistent in your prayer or other efforts, but also keep busy in new fields of endeavor. Jesus assures us that the seed of God's word sprouts and grows without the farmer being aware of it. Developing an ability to smile while we wait certainly helps. This was so odd for me to learn over the years. I remember in retreat work, I was with Sister Ann Shields in particular, and there was a situation that I was really sad about. But I had to smile because I had to participate in this retreat with her. And she said, you're smiling even though you're participating in such discouragement right now, you're smiling. And I laughed and said, yeah, the Lord has really taught me to smile in the midst of discouragement. And that's not being not authentic. It's being rising to the level of spiritual goodness that Jesus wants all of us in. Now, sometimes sadness springs from a sense of weariness and boredom. Are you weary today? Aren't you a little bored? Especially when we're called to give an effort over and above the ordinary. Now, seeing the price tag for real Christianity, some go into an emotional slump. Well, this is why we do this radio. Because it's not for those who have it all together. It's for those of us who get into emotional slumps, including the broadcaster. St. Paul, on the other hand, says that God loves a cheerful giver. We can lighten the load by realistically accepting the efforts and sacrifices demanded of us. Now, the last thing we want to do is to fall into an attitude of self-pity. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that true? We don't want to fall into an attitude of self-pity, rehearsing over and over again in our minds all the efforts we have to put out. I know that there can't be one listener that doesn't go through this. This is guaranteed to make life so much more difficult than it really is. Now, still another potential source of sadness comes from a negative spirit that leads us to complain when everything is not just right. And we must not naively expect that everything will work out smoothly all the time just because we prayed. In our Christian walk, we are bound to meet people whose personalities have very sharp edges. We must be careful not to let them get under our skin. And even more, we must avoid an argumentative attitude. Now, just last week, my life is an open book. I was in a pretty high level meeting at an institution where some things were being said that were unfair, not to me, but to people in the room. They were unfair. And so as I was praying and praying and saying, Lord, do I stay quiet? What do you want of me? I felt this burst come out of my heart to say, what you're saying is abusive to this individual. Now, I was speaking to a high-level person. What you're saying is abusive to this poor person on the other side of the table. Well, you would have thought I lit a bonfire in the middle of the table. And I knew, uh-oh, there's no turning back. No turning back, because this was the sharp edge. This was the Anne of old, from old corporate days. I was sticking up for someone who was really hurting, and they were being attacked. And I knew that God wanted me to handle this, but probably a little more diplomatically than I did. But then I was called a terrible name. I was called a terrible name. And at first, I knew that God was with me because it didn't hurt. It was a sword. It didn't hurt. It actually, I felt like God was honoring me for protecting this innocent person. But I wanted to attack. The old Ann wanted to attack. Like, you said, what? And thank God the person that was really hurting in the room reached his arm across to me like, it's okay. And I realized that even though all these years of ministry, retreats, knowing some really well-known people, ministering on radio, I still had that vulnerable part of me that would act like a spitfire if someone I loved or knew was being attacked. And it didn't dawn on me until two nights ago, and I said to my husband, you know, it was like the Good Samaritan parable in the Bible. There was an injured person in the room, and the person that attacked me in the end, it was like they were turning over the injured person in the room on the road saying, oh, you're really not injured. You're really fine. You're just faking it. And I was watching the scene as we didn't have a Good Samaritan on the road at that time. But the Lord pulled me back two nights ago, which is a week after this situation, and said, see, you didn't have a good Samaritan on the road with your victim who was hurting. You were there to pray. And I was reminded of what the Blessed Mother told me years and years ago. And please use kind words and gentle actions. When I had to fire somebody and participate in firing them, and I didn't like it. And I prayed to the Blessed Mother, what do I do? What do I say? After it was all said and done. And I'm not kidding you. She said, and I heard her voice as clearly as I hear someone else's voice, kind words, gentle actions. So I didn't really use those kind words, gentle actions in that meeting because I felt like a defender of someone who was hurting. And the Lord didn't want me to have that sharp edge that day. He wanted me to have kind words, gentle actions. Well, I lost. I repent of what I said. And then, of course, they didn't repent of what they said to me. But it was an armored fight. It was like St. Joan of Arc with a sword coming at the person because they were hurting someone, an innocent person. And we need to defend and justify that. I mean, it was a wrong action on that person's part, but I didn't need to be king of all nations, and certainly the Lord wanted me to be much gentler. So I had the personality, and I am sharing this on the air, of a personality with a sharp edge, and I repent in the name of the Lord for that person that evolved. But I can tell you at the end of the meeting, the Lord prevailed. The Lord did prevail. Because I asked people that I love to back me up in prayer and to back up this person in prayer. And the Lord did prevail. I could see an actual change in the person who was heading up the meeting. I could see it. And I knew that the Lord was then in control. And my, oh my, what a lesson for me and for the person who was being hurt so deeply. What a lesson. And what a lesson for me that I will not forget, that I still have vulnerabilities and healing to take place in my life, even as I preach on the radio. And this is why this radio broadcast and this network is so important, because the broadcasters are not perfect. We preach, we teach, and we learn by our own words what God wants of all of us. So I hope this little story touched your life somehow. I know someone is listening who may say, I'm just like that. Boy, I'll go across the table and attack if someone's hurting someone. I think the Mother Hubbard in me still rages in protecting those who are hurt, and those who have been hurt so much by people who pretend to be Christians. So, but I'm no better when I attacked and that sharp edge came out, and that was not from God. So kind words, gentle action. So if you're listening, Blessed Mother truly, maybe the only prophetic words that I receive in my lifetime, truly said to me, kind words, gentle actions. Now, spiritual joy eases our burdens, doesn't it? And it protects us from discouragement and gives a lightheartedness to everyday life. It also keeps us singing. We talked about this about three programs ago. This is brought out in one of my favorite stories of the life of St. Francis, and we shared that weeks ago, how he was singing on the road, and someone robbed him, and then he said, lay there, you herald of the great king. And what did St. Francis do? He picked himself up from the ditch, wiped off the snow and mud from his tunic, and then began to sing all over again. And he, like a real troubadour of the Lord, never stop singing. So after the break, my friends, stay with me, because I have so much more to share with you. So if you're spiritually sad today or dead, it's time to find a new path, and we will try to find that in Christ Jesus. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. And I'm so happy to be with you today. And we're talking about, are you spiritually sad or dead today? And how important is the cross when you're really in the stuck in the mud? I call it the stuck in the mud era. So we're discussing about a net that draws souls to God. Now, Father Andrew Apostoli, who was a dear friend of mine, wrote a book, and I found it, and I love this paragraph, and I'm going to share it with you, and I'm quoting Father Andrew Apostoli. He said, just as a good defense and a good offense goes together in sports, so they must go together in the work of drawing people to the Lord. We live a life of virtue for ourselves, of course, so that we are holy and pleasing to the Lord. Joy is a good defense, helping us to live personally satisfying lives. We also live righteous and prayerful lives so that we're able to participate in the great work of evangelization. That is the responsibility of each and every Christian. In this, we use joy as our offense, because it's a powerful tool for evangelization. Spiritual joy affects not only the evangelizer, and that would be you, but also those being evangelized. And I've shared stories of Mother Teresa and letters from her in communication, and of course, working with the person who traveled with her, the Vatican diplomat who wrote a book on her, and was responsible for gathering all the stories and testimonies about Mother on the road. He said that Mother was a very joyful person who understood the effectiveness of joy in dealing with others. Now, if you ever visited the Missionaries of Charity in the South Bronx, this is what Father Andrew Apostoli said, you would see a poster that says, joy is the surest sign of God's presence in the soul. And if we say that a person's face is the window of the soul, then a joyful look, a kind smile, unmistakably reflects God's presence within you. Now, without God in the soul, we cannot have love, joy, or peace within. Now, St. Paul wrote in the Sacred Scriptures, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, Mother Teresa used to say that joyful servant of God is a net to catch souls for God. Do you think a miserable face is going to catch a soul? With so much drudgery and unhappiness in the world, authentically joyful person stand out. Do you want to stand out? Hey, if you're on the beach in Wildwood or Avalon right now, smile. Don't look miserable. Or if you're in Center City walking in the heat or going to the train, if you're in a hot house sitting on a stoop, as they say in Philadelphia, smile. Other people will stop and take notice, especially if it's a quality they lack but wish they could find for themselves. When they discover the joy they're looking for, staring back at them in the face of you, of another, they're drawn like a fish to the bait on the hook. Now, Mother Teresa also said that a joyful servant of God preaches without preaching. Yep. If a picture's worth a thousand words, who can measure the effect of a joyful believer or believers and non-believers alike? Now, I shared this before, and I love this. Mother Teresa's joyfulness was her wonderful sense of humor. Did you know that? No matter how horrible things were going on in the world, she had a wonderful sense of humor. On one occasion, she said to Father Andrew Apostoli, "Father, I have a new prayer. I pray to God, use me, do whatever you want with my life. Send me whenever you want, but don't consult me." Now, this is Mother Teresa saying this to Father Andrew Apostoli. Now, we all know Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He responded about joy. Well, the importance of joy is spending time in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in adoration or receiving him in the Holy Eucharist. If you want joy, go spend time in adoration. Just stare at Jesus. Just stare at him. You don't have to speak. Just stare at him and let him fill you with his love and joy. St. Francis de Sales used to say, "We will attract more bees with an ounce of honey than a barrel of vinegar." Now, we've heard it in different ways here in the United States, haven't we? Now, St. Teresa of Avila said, "From sour-faced saints, O Lord, deliver us." We can echo prayer in support of the church's evangelization mission. "From sour-faced evangelists, O Lord, deliver us." That was St. Teresa of Avila. A bad impression once made can easily make a lasting impression. So if you're happy, please remember, my friend, to inform your face today. Inform your face. Now, we're going towards that path that we talked about, if you're sad today. One of the most dangerous mistakes in life, my friends, is to ignore the moments, like this moment, that invites us to walk down another street. It takes tremendous awareness and courage to embrace a new direction in our lives. It's so easy, isn't it, to sleepwalk through life? It's so easy, isn't it, to keep walking down the same street? So easy to keep falling into that same hole. And all too easy to adopt the posture of the victim and blame someone else. Life today, if you're listening, may have you in a hole. Perhaps you did it to yourself. Perhaps someone punched you or pushed you into this hole. And maybe it just happened. It's time to get yourself out of that hole and find a new path. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Are you ready for your new path? Answer it honestly. Are you really ready for a new path, or you just like to hear about it? Are you really ready for a new path? Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. And perhaps you know what it is, or perhaps the path forward has not yet become clear. So whatever path you're called to follow, whatever it is you feel called to do and become, the secret to success is diving deep into the mystery of you. Yes, the mystery of you. And you have to be willing to look at that. What is the mystery of you? Your capacity, my friends, for life literally expands or contracts according to how much love and energy you have on any given day. in any given moment. Can you expand and contract? Or do you pull in and stay still, like a stiff board? Think about that. Where are you? Now, the darkest times in our lives have a way of bringing important questions to the surface. I was told this years ago by my spiritual director back then, a bishop. I was in a really place, a fear, a sickness, mostly sickness. And he said, the darkest time, Anne, that you have right now has a way of bringing important questions to the surface. So he asked me, what are those questions? And I didn't know. I didn't know how to answer that. So I'm asking you, what are the questions, if you're in a dark time right now and you're feeling spiritually sad, pain and suffering demand our attention, don't they? And they can direct it towards areas of our lives that need adjusting. Pain asks questions, and so does suffering. Now, there are some questions that deserve reflection, but the pressures of daily life really distract us, don't they? And some questions are more intimate than others, and the more intimate the question, more likely we're to avoid it. We can avoid the biggest questions for a long, long time, but only at a big cost to our progress, happiness, and spiritual health. So the question that life stirred up in a friend's soul was a most intimate one. And it happened to me too. This was one of the questions that stirred up in my life when I was really, really physically sick. Do you like who you're becoming? In the depths of my despair, I realized I didn't. Do you like who you're becoming? I wrote in my journal. In the depths of my despair, I realized I didn't. And when you discover that you don't like the person you are becoming, you have some soul searching to do. And it was time to go within for me. I had suffered some cruel, even horrific betrayals and some physical illnesses, but there's no excuse, my friends, for allowing these events to change me the way I did. And our lives change from the inside out, and it's only easy to focus on the externals, but it's what's inside that matters the most. And just about the bravest thing I've ever witnessed, was a friend taking personal inventory of his life. Now, I love when people say, I've gone to confession and I've written out the sins of my whole life and I brought them. You didn't have to read them, but you really did an examination of conscience. That's a personal spiritual inventory. That's a spiritual inventory. But also do an intellectual and emotional inventory. If you really want to grow spiritually, set aside a few hours, like 3 Sundays in a row, maybe Sunday's your day. Sit down and write a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. Can you do that? Are you honest enough to do that? It's when we prioritize personal preferences and the trivial over what is essential and matters most that the wheels begin to fall off our lives. Now think about that. Have the wheels fallen off your life? Do you feel like the wheels, you can't go forward, you can't go backward, you can't even really stand up straight because the wheels fell off your life? Well, you're in spiritual sadness. Choosing to spend time with people who build you up. Now we're looking at that new path we talked about in the beginning of the program. Accept you. Love you is a sign of emotional health and intelligence. If we do not speak to ourselves in ways that are life-giving, we won't be able to receive the love, the encouragement, and acceptance other people extend to us. Now, be careful how you speak to yourself. Your words have power. So, if you're building something, if you're doing something, you say, oh, I'm such a dummy. I'm such a dummy. I'm such an idiot. I'm such a fool. God does not want you to speak like that. Be careful of how you speak to yourself. Your words have power. And you may never be quite able to fathom just how powerful they are. But don't waste this power. Use it wisely. And when pain and darkness and misfortune and grief touch our lives, we lose our footing. We get tripped up, don't we? And we stumble to the ground. And after we've fallen flat on our face, our instinct is to curl up in a ball, physically or emotionally. Does this sound familiar? Or both? Getting back up can be excruciating. It hurts. It may even seem impossible to you right now. We may need to rest and heal for a time, but the time will come for us to get up and continue our journey. In that moment, my friends, it's crucial not to allow the long road back to overwhelm us. We just need to focus on taking the smallest step forward. If we overwhelm ourselves with tomorrow's troubles instead of focusing on today's opportunities, that long journey is going to be too much. When we're stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, we usually discover it's because we're not doing God's will, but our own. Walk towards the light. Hold all of your decisions up to the light. I have shared with many people that in my spiritual motherhood of women in ministry about devious and deceitful situations in which they're trapped and paralyzed. And I would always say, hold it up to the light. Hold it up to Christ. Don't participate in that deception. Hold it up to the light of Christ, and he will make all things whole. And every time Christ does this, he wants you to hold up your pain, your sadness, the cross to his light, the light that he has for you. He's talking to you today. If you're listening to this broadcast, this is for you, not for somebody in Mozambique or another city in the U.S. It's you, wherever you are listening from. Now, I'm going to share, as I've been in the last month or so, the prophetic word given to Kathleen McCarthy in The Silence of My Heart, which has Nikhil Avstadt and imprimatur from the Archbishop of Philadelphia. So sit down. I want you to reflect on the words the Lord wants me to read to you today from In the Silence of My Heart. You fret, you worry, and many times you weigh yourself down because you feel that you're in situations that you don't have the answers to. And many times you exhaust yourself trying to find those answers yourself. And many times you're confused because you're not sure what to do. And so you do nothing. And many times you go forward without even asking for wisdom or for knowledge or for discernment. And you just act out your will into these situations and circumstances. And when all is done, it seems it's worse than when it all began. I say to you today, each of you, I have empowered you. I am the seat of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And when you come to me before you respond to a situation, to a set of circumstances, to a problem, you will be at peace. You see, peace is what I will give you first, just as I breathed first on my apostles, and then I gifted them. And so too, it will be with you. I will breathe my spirit anew upon you to give you peace of mind and heart and spirit so that you'll be open to not only hear my word, but to act upon it, just as my mother did, your mother. I tell you to not only rely on your own understanding, on your own ability, on your own power, but to rely on my ability at work in you. I am he who created you, redeemed you, and continue to sanctify you. It is my will for each of you, my will for all mankind, that I would work in you in such a way that I would be the answer to all of your problems today. I will give you wisdom, knowledge, and discernment if only you would touch me and then act. Your spirit too must magnify the Lord. You must not only hear my word, but act on it. I come to you throughout the day in little surprises in the spirit. I come to you with joy and in sorrow, and I move you from grief to grace. Yes, when you come to me in the beginning of each day, when you ask my blessing upon your day, then I will bless it. Do not doubt this fact. I will bless it. And if I bless your day and your walk with the anointing and the blessing, what do you have to fear? What do you have to be anxious about? I will supply your needs. Do not focus on the needs of the world. They're temporary. Focus on what is eternal, eternal life, eternal death. Focus on what is eternal. Acquiesce to me first in all things, and your heart will be at peace, and your steps will be directed. Know that I am pleased as you witness to others of my love. This is the great thing that happens when we come together. I infuse you with my power, my love, my presence, to take out to all those that you come in contact with. And when Satan comes against you to attack you, to foil your plans, to destroy your joy, to bring about confusion, remember this. Never, ever forget it. When he messes with you, he's messing with what is mine, and the battle is mine. Fear not, for I'm with you, always, and working through you, always, and giving you all that you need to be as a great light in the darkness. I'm touching your family through your obedience, through your yes, through your sanctification, so not only you, but your whole household will be saved. Isn't that powerful, my friends? Isn't that powerful? How can you be spiritually sad when the Lord Jesus is making this promise? Your whole household will be saved. The Lord Jesus wants your anxieties and your fears today, and take them to the foot of the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, you will find his healing power. I pray today for all those who are listening, and there's such a sense that many are listening who are hurting and just so wrapped up like chains, binding you, even going to church, any Christian church is just not giving you the peace that you want. Jesus wants your soul today. He wants your surrender. He wants your love. He wants your commitment. He already took it to the cross. So picture yourself placing all of your troubles, nail them to the cross, or put a post-it on the bottom of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I give this to you. Do you see, can you feel the absolute change of the heart the moment you lift your hearts to me? Again, this is in the prophetic word given to Kathleen McCarthy that have been approved by the church. I'm going to read it again. Can you feel the absolute change of heart the moment you lift your heart to me? The moment you praise me, the moment you set your heart on me, think about me, ponder my word. Even the thought of me brings peace and grace to you. That is why I want you to ponder my word, not only to read my word, but allow it to sink into your heart and your mind and your spirit. I have left you my word. My word is life and spirit. My word is living and it is effective. You do not always realize how effective it is, but when you read my word, and it takes root in you, you begin to see things more clearly. You begin to hear. You begin to love more freely. I call you to listen to my word as it is proclaimed. I ask you to listen with an open heart, not passively, but listen. Open your heart and ask yourself, what are you saying to me now, Lord? What are you saying to me now, Lord? I ask you to ponder my word until it becomes part of you. One day will come that you will not be able to carry my word in your hands, but you'll already have written it in your hearts, because you have invited me to be Lord over your heart. I have written my law in your heart so that you will always know the way and the truth which leads to life. I left you my words that you might come and understand and observe all that I've done, all that I've said, and all the things that I did to comprehend my justice and my mercy, my compassion. All this was left so that you could hear and understand, see and believe through the hearing. My word is living, and the word I give to you is to forgive one another as I've forgiven you. To the one who forgives much, much is forgiven. When you forgive, when you loose up a person that has really wounded your heart, broken your spirit, or abused you in any way, it is then that you'll truly be set free from any power that you've allowed those people who have wounded your heart, wrecked your life in so many ways. It is through the forgiveness, through the loving and unbinding of that person or persons that allows you to be free. My friends, this is what we were talking about when we started the program, that new path that Jesus is calling you to. Are you ready to accept that gift today? Are you ready? Because Jesus and our Blessed Lady want you to live in their Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart in a new and profound way. It is not okay to just be a cultural, routine Christian. It's time to act, to stand up, to accept the cross, to know that the cross is a tough topic, because it's here where we learned about tough love. It's here that we learned about tough love. It's time to find that new path in your life. It's time, my friend. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that you are special. You are special in God's eyes. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.